Hello and welcome to another episode of Meta Sidekicks. My name is Liv and this is the podcast where we talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal, and in between. Much before I even embraced my psychic mediumship abilities professionally, I was interested in these topics. Last week, we talked about the Mandela effect, switching timelines, and I even shared a very interesting listener story that one of our listening sidekicks sent in to us, and it made me just want to double take and take back all the things that I talked to you guys about the Mandela effect and the misinformation effect, like switching timelines and things, because I'm very skeptical of it. I'm not going to lie. But when I read JG's story, I was like, everything is just a lie and I don't believe anyone anymore because this is ridiculously like awesome and cool. And I was flabbergasted. I still don't have an answer to it. So if that's something you're interested in, go listen to last Sunday's podcast because it was a doozy. But today we're going to be talking about reasons why a soul may not pass over into heaven, spirit, source, the spirit realm, whatever it is that you call the space of energetic existence in which souls reside. So like, why would a soul not, quote unquote, go into the light? And I'm excited to talk about this. I actually did a little bit of research. I wasn't planning on doing research, but it's just a squish of research, if you will. And these are two questions that were submitted by our Patreon sidekicks. One of them is Tyler and the other one is, I'm going to say your name wrong. I think it's Mikofabi. I got to find it. One second. How many pages? MacPen. I'm going to say MacPen. Final answer. Anyways, you guys both sent in really good questions and they kind of go hand in hand. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Somewhat recently, I've now been doing life updates or giving you all life updates on things that are happening with me outside of mediumship and spiritual things because I've had positive reviews of people excited about listening to just my everyday life outside of work and talking about spiritual topics all the time. So we're going to give a little bit of a life update before we get into the core of the podcast, which is about why a soul may or may not want to pass over. Well, why a soul would not want to pass over into heaven or go into the light, as everyone likes to use the phrase. And if you don't want to listen to me talking about myself, which I don't think it'll be very long, there will be a timestamp in the show notes below that will say Liv's life update. Just skedaddle past that one to the next timestamp that will have a different whatever future editing Liv sees fit as a topic of the section of this podcast. And if you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel, then that'll be in the description below. And you can also clicky-doodle past my life update and go on to the topic of today's podcast. But first, I will talk about things that I've been pondering. First of which, I was in Chicago, as many of you might know, earlier this year, like as the leaves were actually adorning the trees. And it was so May and June. I was in Chicago with my husband. We went out of town together because it was for my husband's work. He had to go for training. But instead of leaving me home with our 6-month-old son by myself for 2 weeks at a time, he decided to take me with him, which was equally as chaotic, but a lot more healing and less lonely than I think I would have been if I was just staying at home by myself with the baby. So it ended up being a really good time. But in Chicago, it was freaking cicada-geddon. There were so many cicadas. It was literally like a horror movie every time I'd have to go out of the hotel and go somewhere. Like, we were there for 2 weeks. In the hotel that we stayed in the second time did not have a like nice little in-house washer dryer area. So I'd have to go to the laundromat with the baby. And my goodness, just going to and from the car was an absolute nightmare. Just these things are like flying through the air. All you can hear is the buzz and the hum of the cicadas. And they're just hitting you in the side of the head. It was, oh my God, I'm sorry if you're really grossed out by bugs. But this has to do with the fact that now it's the time of when like school starts. And this time of year just makes me think about like all 4 years of college that I was in. It brings back, you know, the nostalgic memories. I feel like the way that the crickets sing in the night, and the way that the crows become a little more active during this time of year, this fall time, this autumnal time, is just, you even just like the smell of outside, because it starts to rain more and it gets kind of gloomy, but the sky is just so much more crisp and clear. It makes me feel like I'm back at school freshman year in the dormitories. But that also brings me back to the fact of that my dormitory all years of college was hellaciously infected by stink bugs. And the stink bugs are back, everyone. And I just can't deal with it. I hate them. I really do. I know that's a strong word, and I've probably used other strong words before, but there's a special part in my soul that is just full of darkness. And in that darkness part of my soul is my hatred for cicadas now. I like the really pretty ones that like are iridescent and they're bigger, but the ones in Chicago, those ones were just like these horrible thorax shaking clicky clacking brown monsters. And stink bugs, my dorm room was just covered in them one time because I had my cat with me, Sniffles. That's like when I adopted her, was freshman year of college. I think Sniffles and I rounded up 23 bugs in one evening, just one evening, 23 stink bugs. And it was just, I remember like using her to get them down off of the ceilings and things because she was taller and it was fun for her. And then just sweeping them up and like putting them back out the window. And then they were all just back the next day. And I can't do it with stink bugs. The really big, gross, crunchy bugs that just fly. And that's what time of year it is. They're like on my windows and I need new windows in my house. And they're like the crack in between the screen of the window. It's going to start getting cool soon. And I'm the person that likes to have the windows open when it's cool outside and like let the energy like flow through the house and clean and cleanse the energy of the home. You know, all that folk witchy kind of stuff. And I am like scared to death now because there is the stink bugs and I really don't want to kill them, but I told you I have that dark side of my soul, you know, and if they're in my house, they might just meet their demise in the vacuum cleaner. I'm just saying, I can't do it. I hate them so much. But I'm sure wherever you're listening to this, you've either clicked off because I'm talking about bugs in such a way, or you are thinking about the bug that you hate that comes out during this time of year, wherever you may be residing in the universe. And stink bugs is the thing that's been bothering me. I don't know. What's more on a more spiritual and emotional side of things that me as a 27 and a half year old Olivia has been pondering? One thing that's been bothering me a lot is I've been hearing the phrase, because I've been going like, I don't know, my husband likes Jordan Peterson, and I know Jordan Peterson is like tailored more towards guys, but I really like, or I've been enjoying or finding that this person is winding up in my feed is like Teal Swan. And then I have a lot of things on my Facebook feed too about like my husband was on my Facebook feed the other night because his phone was too far away and I was doing stuff with the baby and he was relaxing, but he was telling me how there's too much like poetry on my Facebook feed that you just have to, it's like I'm sure you know, and if you don't, I'll tell you, it's just like a book of poetry that's open, or like a book that someone got a free image of and then overlaid like on Canva or something, poetry things that they've written. So it looks like it's written on a book. And then there's just like sad music in the background with just like rain sounds as well. Cause I like almost never ever listen to reels or any videos with sound on. I just always read everything. So I guess that's just been pushing things towards my algorithm of reading a lot of things. And my husband's like, gosh darn it, you just read a lot of things. What is this? He's like, if I wanted to read, then I would pick up a book, not a phone. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever. But I don't know, for whatever reason, I've been having quotes, or I've noticed a couple quotes when I'm reading or things are popping up in my feed of like, love is not enough. And that's something that I've just been thinking about. Because sometimes the poems have little things written before and after and give like a small poetic story given with that phrase of love is not enough. And I just, I don't know. Maybe someone would call me a hopeless romantic, but I would rather like to, you know, reject their reality and substitute my own by saying that I would like to think of myself as a hopeful romantic. And I feel like thinking to yourself that love is not enough may be a detrimental thing. I don't know, because given the poems that I've had on my Facebook feed about just this, the phrase that love is not enough, I've just been mulling over the idea of perhaps maybe they're right. You know, love maybe isn't enough. But I've had a lot of instances in my life too where I've seen where people could say that love isn't enough. You know, say my parents, for example, because I do come from a divorced family. And my parents have made it a point to tell me that at one point in time they loved each other, but they didn't love each other enough to stay together. And I just, I don't know. One of the other overarching themes that I've seen, and maybe this can be relevant to someone who's listening. Personally, I've had this afflicted in my family and other people's families that I love and know, where say someone has like a drug addiction or a substance addiction, you know, because substance abuse does run in my family, which is why I'm not much of a drinker. I don't really go about being all free and loosey-goosey with like legal drugs or anything like that. But I have seen where, say, for example, two people love each other, but a drug gets in between their relationship, and say the one person that's sober tells the person that has a substance abuse problem, hey, I can't be with you if you continue to choose this drug over me. And the person's like, well, I'm not choosing the drug over you. I just have this problem, yada, yada, yada. And I just, I don't know. I feel like in situations like these, you could still be in a relationship with one another, right? But it's that you either don't have enough love for yourself. And I feel like in this case, it might be the person that struggles with a substance abuse. They don't see that they have enough love for themselves, or they haven't realized that there is enough love within themselves to not need something more, you know? Or it's the fact that they love the substance more than they love someone else or even themselves. And then in that case, it comes to the point where the person that tells the person with the substance abuse, like, I can't be with you unless you can get over this, but I want to help you get over it. So they try to help the person get over it, but they can't. And then it's like they don't have, there's that disconnection of love. You know what I'm saying? It seems that it's not necessarily that love isn't enough sometimes. It's that there isn't enough love. Does that make sense? Like with my parents, for example, too. I mean, I don't know the specifics because I was a child. It was just, I was told that they didn't love each other anymore. And I'm just like, I feel like you loved each other enough at one point to have kids and get married and be together for almost a decade. So where is it that that love just went? How does it just disintegrate or disappear? I feel that it wasn't that there, that love wasn't enough between them, but that there wasn't enough love in the whole scenario. I don't know. This is just something that I've been mulling around in my head. And those are the two examples that I feel like I've been thinking about. And I don't know, maybe you can let me know in the comments below what you think about or think about this, but it's just something that's been, I don't know. I just, why Facebook? Would you put poetry as such in my Facebook feed? It makes me sad. And I don't know. Do you think that love sometimes isn't enough? Or do you think that the reason people perceive that love isn't enough to overcome a situation is because there isn't enough love? Things that Olivia, as a 27-year-old person existing on the universe, thinks about. And yeah, I like to read things in my Facebook feed more than I like to watch things. So, all right, well, given that, let's talk about how a soul may not want to go into the light or cross over, because that is the topic of today's podcast.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
All right, so today we're going to answer both Tyler and MacPens. I'm just going to call you Mac. I'm sorry. Max, questions. So I'm going to start with Tyler's first. And just because I think Tyler's more so sways and flows into Mac's question a little bit better. And I appreciate both Tyler and Mac, because I've told you both are patrons. If you are interested in anyone that's listening, joining Patreon, please go down to the description below. There will be a list of things and such. And one of those things is being able to have your questions submitted. And we do mediumship circles. We do Patreon lives. One of our Patreon lives is once a month. Mediumship circles are once a month, and that's with me, and I answer your questions, and it depends on what tier you're in, if you're in Patreon lives or mediumship circles, but each of those live events offer different interactions as a group with me and other people, and it's always fun. But anyways, Tyler's question that they submitted when I asked, I think that's what I was talking about. I got sidetracked. I just wanted to say thank you to Tyler and Mac for being patient, because I told everyone on Patreon that I was going to try and do some research and watch things, because Mac's questions involved me watching two lovely individuals that I've never seen before on YouTube, who are also psychic mediums. And I didn't want to like give an opinion about something without actually watching it, you know? So it's just taken me some time in order to be able to have the time to watch an episode of the lovely individuals that Mac was talking about. What are they called? The rescue mediums, if you've heard of them. I had never heard of them before Max said something, and I'm really glad that they did, because I had fun watching an episode today. But anyways, without further ado, what Tyler asks is, they said they had a, quote, Aristotle moment, and what they asked was how souls are, quote, stuck after they die. Tyler says, in some countries, the common folk believe people who die before their time are not able to move on and will stick around until they die eternally. This belief is held by so many generations that it seems that it has become law or an invisible hindrance. So I think what Tyler wanted me to really talk about was, how do souls get stuck after they die? And they were just sharing the fact that I know Tyler, because they've been in live streams before and we've had a couple readings, but Tyler is Vietnamese. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But I wanted to try and look up why someone in Vietnamese culture, why their soul would be perceived as being eternally stuck, or like a little bit of the background on it, because I didn't actually email you and ask you. I should have actually just done that. But I tried to figure out a little bit about just where that perception may come from and what to do about it and things like that. And I also wanted to say that, Tyler, I think when you asked this question, you said that you believe that you were talking to Aristotle, which is absolutely fabulous. I don't think I've ever talked to Aristotle before. I believe I've had a couple interactions with Einstein, but I also don't want to believe that because it's like way too cool for me, you know, like I'm a fangirl about it. So I'm just going to pretend like it didn't happen, but just like think that the information I got is also cool. So anyways, I wanted to look up a little bit about Aristotle first, since you perceived that you were communicating with the soul of Aristotle in order to get the information of that, because so many people have believed that souls can get stuck, that now it's almost like a law or an invisible hindrance to souls if they quote unquote pass before their time, etc. Then I wanted to know a little bit more about Aristotle. So I did a quickie doodle Google search and it was interesting. You guys listening, you've heard of Aristotle, you've heard of Plato. If you hadn't, those are very, very, very well-known Greek philosophers. And on this podcast, we basically talk about philosophy things, honestly, I'm not going to lie. And I wanted to learn a little bit about what Aristotle might have thought about souls, because I wouldn't think about, in college, I did not have to take a philosophy class. I took a critical thinking class that actually taught you how to not critically think. And it was an interesting class, but I didn't have to take philosophy, which I feel like I would have loved to have taken anyways. So I don't know anything really about Aristotle besides like pop culture-ish type of references. So a quick Google search told me that Aristotle, when thinking about the idea of souls, was interested in compounds that are alive specifically. That was just his gist. And he said, or I don't think it was that he said, it just, the internet said that these plants and animals are the things that have souls, and that Aristotle believed that their souls are what make them alive or living. And I was like, that's pretty cool. I really like that understanding. And he went on to talk about like how there's a difference between the Aristotle thinking of the soul-body relationship and the difference between the Plato understanding of the soul-body relationship. And this is something that we just talked about in one of our mediumship circles, because I'm reading a book called Anamkara, which is the Gaelic words or the Gaelic phrase for soul friend. And in this book, they also talk about this idea. So the idea is that, and we can talk about this later at the beginning or at the end of the podcast, I will hopefully remember, and we can like just an aside, if you will. Aristotle's understanding of the soul is that the body is in the soul. I'm going to repeat that. The body is in the soul. And that's what I was learning or reading about in the Celtic understanding as well. So in this Anamkara book, the author talks about how the body lives within the soul. And I was like, what? And they talk about how the soul suffuses the body. And I was like, okay, this is like exactly what Aristotle's talking about. So it's not like, like the Celtic people also felt that the body is in the soul. But if you ask me, I would tell you that the soul resides in the body. And that is what Plato says in his philosophical understanding or dissertation, interpretation, whatever, on the soul. It's that the soul is in the body. And I'm just like, what? So we can talk about that a little bit at the end, or you can just let me know what you think in the comments below, like right now, what you think on, like, do you think that the body is in the soul, or do you think that the soul is in the body? Are you an Aristotle person, or are you a, are you going to side on the planet of Pluto? But anyways, if you want to read more about Aristotle's perception of the soul, because it's really interesting. I went on like a small deep dive about it today, you know, ADHD side quest. He breaks down the soul and his perception of it into three categories. It was like the vegetative, the growth, and the thinking parts. And it's like, he believes that plants, animals, and people have souls. And the three sort of, I think they call it the Pythagorean of souls, because there's like the three points, the three aspects of the soul that create the depth of one's soul. But anyways, that book that Aristotle wrote on talking about his understanding or interpretation philosophies on the soul is De Animia. Maybe I'm saying that wrong, or De Anima. So go read that if you want to, or there will be a link in the show notes of the little dissertation that I read where this person was kind of mean to Aristotle, but gives you a good sort of roundabout understanding of Aristotle's interpretation or understanding of the soul. So if you want to go on a little bit of a deep dive on anything that I talk about in this podcast today, they will be listed at the very bottom of the show notes underneath sources. And it's just little excerpts of information, not a lot, but enough to really get you hooked and like going on an ADHD side quest, my guys. So back to Tyler's questions. How are souls stuck after they die? In some countries, the common folk believe people who die before their time are not able to move on and will stick around until they externally like cease to exist, which I don't quite understand the idea of externally ceasing to exist. I assume, Tyler, when you say that, you just are saying like their soul just sort of like poofs after a really long time, kind of like the dinosaurs maybe. I don't know. Has anyone perceived a dinosaur before? The only time I've ever perceived dinosaurs is when my husband was watching the Eons on PBS on YouTube at night, because he was going through like a dinosaur phase, I guess. I don't know. And when I was learning about the La Brea tar pits. So that's the only time I've ever really perceived dinosaurs, but I don't think dinosaurs have egos like people. So it's not necessarily like they're always around or have something to say because they're just at peace, you know? They've crossed over into the light, and we're going to talk about why some souls might not. But anyways, so I think that's what you mean by that these souls just cease to exist externally, but I'm not entirely sure. So I did type in, though, like, how would the Vietnamese culture understand or have an understanding or viewpoint as to why a soul would or wouldn't pass? And I guess in East Asia, there's a lot of different cultures, or not cultures, well, cultures, but religions that come into play to shape the culture and understanding and beliefs of the people of Vietnam, etc. And if I'm wrong, please, someone let me know in the comments below. I was trying to figure out the best that I could just as a girl with a, I actually try not to use search history. I try to use private searches now, because then it doesn't, I feel like private searches aren't as like laden with algorithm as much, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Anyways, what I did learn about the East Asian Buddhist scriptures of how, or reasonings to why a soul wouldn't pass, is there is like this word which means hungry ghost, and it is pronounced preta. So preta is quote unquote a hungry ghost, and is the soul of a human that persists after death because of going through like a traumatic death or not knowing that they died type of thing. I don't think it's not necessarily that they don't know that they died. The way I read it and interpreted what I read was that a preta is the soul of someone who has not yet crossed over into heaven, spirit, source, whatever you want to call it, because they were traumatized in their death or have a lot of like anger or obsessions with things that are still regarding earth. So they could be angry about dying. They could feel like they haven't done enough and that they still have quote unquote unfinished business, whether that be turning off the refrigerator or going to college or whatever it is. Not saying sorry to someone, but they have some sort of earthly obsession or triggered traumatization from their passing that inhibits their soul from passing over into heaven or spirit. And I feel like that is pretty synonymous with my understanding as a medium as to why souls wouldn't pass over into heaven or spirit. I've only ever experienced one soul that hasn't passed over into heaven or spirit, and they had a reason as well. And I will talk about that when I answer Max's question, because Max's question calls me out, which I'm happy about. I like it. I'm about it. And I just didn't know if there was a word for it. But I want to share a little bit more about the Buddhist scriptures, or this person that gave me this information on the internet. It was just in a Reddit feed. So if you want to go read it, like I said, it's down in the sources. But I guess there are certain like funerary rites, and some cultures give donations on behalf of pretas, because I guess the idea of people acknowledging them and giving them goodwill and praise and joy and peace and love in the form of funerary rites, or giving donations, or setting up temples, or not temples, but little like prayer areas for them. Why is the word escaping me? Oh, altars. I think in some cases you could call them altars, prayer areas. Then that gives the souls and lets the souls know that people are acknowledging them and giving them peace and joy and happiness and goodwill to pass over. However, the interesting thing that I thought about pretas as I was doing a small little deep dive into them was that, and this was slightly debated in the thread that I was reading, but it was that pretas, like a soul is reborn as a preta due to a kind of tormented wandering. So like I said, they have an obsession with their own death or other earthly factors after they die. But I guess in this sort of intermediary state that some Buddhist teachings talk about, this intermediary state is just like being a soul and existing in the physical world, but not allowing yourself to pass over into heaven. But this is the interesting thing. Some Buddhist teaching talk about the soul being reborn into a preta. So it's almost like the way I interpret what they're saying is that since your soul is tormented and does not, because, you know, Buddhists and Hindus, and I don't want to say this because they're not the same, they're very different, but as a white girl that's trying to understand this, the Buddhists have rebirth and the Hindus have reincarnation. And there's a difference between those things, because I guess in some Buddhist teachings, they don't talk about how or give validation that a soul actually exists. It's more just like, here, let me share. Let me share the things that someone in the Reddit thread said. So they said, "We don't believe," and when I say we, I assume they're saying Buddhists of their school of thought, "don't believe there is a soul. Impermanence is one of the four marks of existence. There is no permanent self that transfers from birth to the next." The way I interpreted this phrase was that we have past lives, right? I believe in past lives. If you don't believe in past lives, that's fine. Just hear me out. I believe in past lives. But it's like in this sort of how someone says they don't believe that there isn't soul and that impermanence is one of the four marks of existence. There is no permanent self that transfers from birth to the next. I don't believe that either, because the way that I've perceived past lives as a medium is that, yes, your past lives are your soul from the past, but every past life is completely different. For example, if I put you in a room of your past lives, I'm going to tell you right now, I can almost guarantee that you're going to want to bare knuckle box some of them, and some of them you're going to be great friends with, but you're going to be like, this is me? Because they're all different people. They're all different. You will be your own unique individualistic you. So I agree with the fact that they say there is no permanent self that transfers from birth to the next. And when they say birth, they mean like rebirth of the soul, which is so interesting to me. I appreciated that. So when it goes into the ideas of a preta, it's almost like your soul cannot be reborn into a new self because you're stuck in your old self. So therefore, you are that quote-unquote hungry ghost that is obsessed or stuck in the tumultuous past of your earthly burdens. And I just thought that was really interesting. And then, you know, someone else talks about too, they say, I don't think most, if any, Buddhist schools of thought believe in souls like that. That is one of the biggest differences between Hindu reincarnation and Buddhism's rebirth. And I just thought that was interesting, thinking about Preta as a soul that's in the intermediate or intermediary existence between a soul living in the three dimension and then one being able to pass into heaven or higher frequency. I don't know if it's the fourth dimension, but whatever. That is definitely a topic for another podcast. But I just thought it was really, really interesting to learn about Preta and the fact that other schools of thought and other religions have similar ideas and experiences. So in my opinion, like I said, I do think that souls can get stuck, but I think they're stuck because of their own personal inhibitions. I don't think it's that someone or something is keeping them there. It's that they're keeping themselves there. That is the only personal experiences that I have had with souls. And let's move on to the next sort of facet of Tyler's questions, since we're just sort of breaking it down.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
An O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card is the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Give the gift of convenience from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
He says, this belief is held by so many generations that it has become a law or invisible hindrance. I do. I think that is true. I think that our consciousness, our understanding of ourselves to the best of our abilities does carry over. I mean, it is. We are a soul. It carries over into what happens when we pass. And if you have certain beliefs, mindsets, or objections to things that have happened or things that you've learned in your life, those are going to influence you in the next life, whether you get stuck in this intermediary sort of existence of existing in the 3D, but now you're no longer a three-dimensional being, and even when you're in heaven or spirit. Because a lot of the times when I have readings with people, sometimes I have to stop myself because their past loved ones have opinions. Let me tell you that, opinions. And it's important for me to say and express to lovely clients that make readings with me that this is your loved one's opinion. Yes, they do know, see, hear, and feel everything and are open to the understandings of things. But one, they cannot always share with you the answers that you want, only the things that you need, but they can share their opinions. And if they had opinions when they were alive, they're definitely going to have opinions when they're passed, and they're not just all knowing. So that is Tyler's question. I hope I answered it well. And we learned a little bit about Pretas, which is a very interesting, intriguing topic that I did not know about. And we'll move on to Max's question. So Max says, I've been on a rescue mediums bender lately and have been watching episodes for days now. It's a show based in Canada where two mediums make house calls to help wayward spirits move on. Their question is, personally to me, Liv, has your opinion changed about spirits who are stuck? What explains this phenomena you see on this show and how many shows where spirits are, quote, trapped somewhere? Mac, I like your question, and it's taken me a while to respond to it, like I said, because I didn't want to just willy-nilly give you my opinion and my obnoxious, you know, opinions are like buttholes. They smell and everyone has one. So I was trying to at least make sure that when I shared my smelly opinion, it was presentable. I don't know. I took a shower and I don't know. Maybe I'm going a little too far. And I watched an episode of Rescue Mediums, which I would like to tell you was fabulous. I'm a bit of an asshole. I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh, no, this just seems like another silly paranormal show. And I know I'm in the paranormal community, but I've really, like, my opinion of shows and things like that, like Ghost Investigators and all that other stuff, has really changed since I've gotten older. And I honestly just don't really have a lot of time to watch TV. I've been trying to just be present and fully invested in the physical things that I'm doing. Not that watching TV isn't, but anyways, I'm trying not to be an asshole. I'm sorry if I'm coming off as one, but I had fun watching your show. So thank you for recommending it to me in a way. And I will recommend it to anyone else. It's called Rescue Mediums, like Max said, and it's on YouTube. So specifically, the episode that I watched to give you an answer on your question, Mac, was the episode titled Mediums Are Left Shocked After What They Discover in the Haunted Home. Rescue Mediums Other Side. Yeah, Rescue Mediums Other Side. So that's on YouTube if you guys want to go watch them. The mediums that are on the show, their names are Jackie and Allison, and they're just the cutest little gals from across the pond. I think they're from England. I could be wrong, but I think their accent is English. But anyways, oh, I just want to say that in this episode, and I'm going to spoil it for you. So, I mean, maybe just pause this and go watch it and then come back, or go watch it afterwards, even though I'm done talking about it. But they go to this house, right? And it's a really old farmhouse. And I started trying to react, and I, you know, if you're new to the podcast, my business partner, Em, and I have made reaction videos to other, like, paranormal investigations and things like that on our YouTube channel. So if you're interested in something like that, go check it out. But I haven't done a reaction video in a while because I haven't had time. So I'm sticking with podcasts because that's my thing. And I was trying to tap into my mediumship brain while watching this video. And I just, like, it was interesting to see how their mediumship works versus mine. And I'm not going to get into, like, the specifics of it, but it was really, really cool to watch two really plucky, cute gals receive information. And then at the end of it, like, I was receiving information not in the same way that they were, because when they were there, Mac, there was the soul of a man there, and he was stuck. He was stuck at that house. And I want to explain that when Max says that, has your opinion changed on souls that are trapped or stuck here, etc., it's not that I don't believe, and I know what you're referencing, Mac, it's not that I don't believe that souls can't get trapped or stuck in this intermediary, as, like, the Pretas that we talked about do. It is the fact that when Em and I have gone on ghost investigations, or we talk about the souls that are in another haunted location, quote unquote, most of the souls, 99% of the time, in my opinion, are not stuck. They're just communicating with us. Because when we are in heaven or spirit and we are a soul, we no longer are bound by physicality. So we can exist in both the third dimensional, this plane of existence, as well as higher frequency dimensions that our souls reside in. So it's not hard for a soul to communicate with Em and I. So it's not hard for a soul to communicate with me if they're in heaven or spirit. Because when I'm giving a reading to someone over a Zoom reading, that soul isn't not in heaven. That soul is in heaven. We're just having a telephone conversation, for lack of a better words, if you can conceptualize it that way. That's usually a pretty good way for me to compare it. But there are souls that are stuck in the physical. And in this sense, with Jackie and Allison, the man of Robert, I think it was McAlliston or Mick something. I just know it was Robert. He was stuck, and he was stuck in the same way that I have perceived a soul stuck once, and so has my mother. But I also, it's just, The reason I say that too is that I don't believe all souls are stuck is because I didn't understand this for a while when I first became a medium, but so many people thought that as a medium, I was quote unquote talking to demons and the devil and all this other stuff. And it wasn't until about a year or two, give or take, I don't quite remember, when someone answered and clarified why so many people are like, you're not talking to the soul of my Aunt Mary, you're talking to a demon. And I always asked them, like, why do people think that? I don't understand why. And that carries into the question of when we do reaction videos and say and tell people, like, these are the souls we're talking to from said paranormal place. They're like, can you help the souls cross over? They need someone to cross them over. But it's not that. It's the fact that this person clarified why people think that so much. And the reasoning was, in the Bible or in some religious teachings associated with the Bible, it is thought that if you die and you are not accepted into the kingdom of heaven with God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, whatever, you are therefore stuck on earth. And if you are stuck on earth, you've been refuted by God and you are not a good person and or you're a demon. So that is why so many people think, I guess, in this sort of just like culture in the United States, that the souls we're talking to, or the souls that I'm talking to, are not in heaven. But the majority of them are, which is why I say that to people, because I don't want people to think that we're supposed to help all of these people cross the street when they don't need help crossing the street, because they've crossed the street before. They're just wandering around freely as they're allowed to do. So that is why I say that. It's not that I don't think that souls can't get stuck. It's just that in my opinion, through my experiences, most souls aren't stuck. However, Jackie and Allison have an entire thing on YouTube on their Rescue Mediums channel where they do make house calls. And according to the one episode that I've watched, they did help a soul pass over. And it was, honestly, it was healing for me too, because the way that they conveyed the experience was very, very similar to my experience. And it just kind of reaffirmed that what I experienced was real and authentic. Because, you know, as a medium, you're always guessing, second guessing your sanity. But it was interesting. So I do want to say that when I was watching Jackie and Allison's video on Rescue Mediums, I don't think that I was necessarily talking to the soul of Roger, because they had crossed him over. He was in heaven. So I was asking more so the house what the energy was like, given Jackie and Allison experiencing what they did. And then there was, for me, there was the soul of an older woman. And she had gray hair, and she gave me a very motherly vibe. Very stern, very staunch, as I like to use the words for older women who take up space proudly and command a room in their own feminine way. She was there. And it was interesting because in the episode, they kept putting an emphasis on butterflies. And I wish I could ask Jackie and Allison if they told the editors to put an emphasis on the butterflies, or if the editor just kind of did it themselves, or like how that was sort of finangled into their editing of the video. But at the end of it, they figured out that Roger had built the house that this older couple was living in, that called Jackie and Allison to come out and investigate things. Because, you know, they had weird things happening. They were seeing shadow figures and getting ominous feelings, and electrical things were moving and stuff like that. Just like normal paranormal. Is it funny to say normal paranormal? Normal paranormal things happening, you know? And I did. I got the sense that from the house, there was a man that was there, and he was very upset and he was very angry. And very just had a lot of turbulent emotions, you know? And when someone's upset and angry because they're hurt, they can come off as being mean, but they're not. They're just hurt. It's like an animal that has a thorn in their paw, and everyone's like, oh, that animal's mean. You got to get rid of them. And it's just like, no, they're hurt. And if once you figure out where they're hurt, then you can understand how to help them. So the way Jackie and Allison interacted with the energy of the home and the soul of Roger himself was really, really cool. And they ended up finding out, it was interesting, because as soon as I think it was Jackie, the darker haired older medium, she said that she felt like she had, she walked into the room and she felt like she had chest problems, you know? And I was like, oh no. and they're talking about it being winter time and someone coughing and the snow turning red. And it's just like seeing those things too. And she was getting the names of people, which I'm so jealous of, by the way. If she listens to this, if you guys push this podcast to them, that would be really cool because I kind of want to be friends with them. But anyways, when she was talking about the snow and getting names, I wish I got names. I do not get names. I knew that when she was listing the names, they were the names of children. And as soon as she had the chest pain, I was like, oh no, we're dying of diphtheria. And it was just, it was interesting to go through it in more of a past tense sort of way. Because it is, it's, I've learned that it's different to remote view a location than it is to physically be at a location. There's a lot of things that can get interpreted differently because it's like, imagine being in a crowd of people, right? And you're supposed to take in a whole bunch of information from the crowd of people around you. Your experience is going to be very different of your surroundings compared to someone that's like in a Ferris wheel going around and around and getting a perspective of people. So I would say remote viewing can be more of like a Ferris wheel. You sort of get dipped down into the crowd at some points and then you're back up and you get a bird's eye view and people move and change and shuffle. But when you're in the crowd, it's very, very different. So it can change your perception of things. So as I was watching this video from more of a past tense sense, since they had successfully crossed over Roger's soul, then it was a different channeling of energy. And it was very, very interesting because after I had consolidated these notes, just like they had by experiencing things, so I was like, okay, there's children. I feel like there's three, if not four children that died. One or a few of which that died of diphtheria. And I feel like there was the woman that had the leg pain, Margaret, who was Roger's wife. She passed too before him. And it was just like all these little clues. And then at the very end, they were able to get the records of the family that Roger and Margaret had created and lived their life out on this farm before the people that were there before. And it all matched up with all of the information that they had found. So go watch that video to get like the exact details. But the reason that Roger did not cross over is because he lost four, I think, of his nine children to diphtheria within a week of each other, or three of his nine children to diphtheria in a week. Could you imagine? That was something that was very, very common because I think they bought the house in the 1900s and Roger died in 1947. So it was terrible. His eldest son, when he was in his 30s or something, died of jaw cancer. His wife passed before him much, much before, at like the age of 32. So it was a lot for him. And at that point in his life, I think he, from what I'd written down on my notes, he had just lost faith in God. He was like, if these terrible things happened to me in such a short amount of time, could you imagine the frustration of feeling your loved ones being taken from you, especially your children like that, and then your wife? I would be absolutely livid. I would be so mad. And I think that is why his soul didn't pass over, because he was just angry with God. And he's like, well, I don't want to be anywhere. Or he wasn't ready to move anywhere. He was just so blinded by his own anger and heartbreak. And it made me sad. Now, the one difference I did want to talk about was Margaret was Roger's wife. And his three children that passed before, or four children, yeah, four children and his wife, the ones that caused the most heartbreak. When they, Jackie and Allison, showed and called upon Roger's family, his wife, Margaret, and his children to help bring him to the light, since he had taken the time to have his soul sit down with them and show him his frustrations and his sadness and his heartbreak, they were like, well, here is the love that you've been looking for, because you've been so just blinded by your angriness and your heartbreak. And the souls, as Jackie and Allison said, of Sarah, or not Sarah, I'm giving it away, of Margaret and his four children came and took him to heaven, which is beautiful. And it's very similar to what I experienced with reacting to the Lizzie Borden house. But the one difference was the butterflies. If you go back and watch the video, there's butterflies. And in the video, they talk about the name Sarah. And Sarah was also one of Roger and Margaret's children, but I think it was also Roger's mother. And the difference that I picked up on the video was that I believe, because every time I go to a location and a soul, I'm walking around and just perceiving the energy and channeling any souls that want to talk to me, there's always one soul that leads me around. And it's usually a person that sort of gives me information about people and places and things and more of a tour guide-ish sort of fashion. And that happens both when I go to physical locations and when I'm remote viewing. And the only difference that I perceived that Jackie and Allison talked about that or didn't talk about was I feel like the soul of Roger's mother, Sarah, because they did mention, I believe, that Roger's mother's name was Sarah, hence why he had a daughter named Sarah, was one of the souls that led Jackie and Allison to the house. And I just, I think she was the butterflies. And I thought it was interesting that they edited the videos with the butterflies sort of giving and like alluding to the fact that the butterflies were leading the way for Jackie and Allison. And I just, that is what the one difference that I perceived is I feel that the soul of Sarah, Roger's mother, led Jackie and Allison to this house in order to help his soul find peace and love and joy and go back or be in heaven with his family that he'd been waiting so long for, but was so just blinded by his heartbreak to be able to see. And I don't know. What do you guys think? I know a lot of you that listen here have psychic abilities and mediumship capabilities, or like if you send this podcast to Jackie and Allison, what they think too. But I just, oh, it was really cool. It made me really happy. So I think most souls are not stuck, perhaps, as I've talked about, and I think why that perception is with the idea of religion and certain religions that are like, if you're talking to a soul, then therefore they're not in heaven, so they're the demon, or they're not supposed to be talking to you, like you're not supposed to be talking to them, so that's why people think that they're here, but they're not. So, but I do think that everyone's mediumship is different. For me, example, I really do well with human souls. Can I perceive your spirit guides and like spiritual beings like Fae and things like that? Yes. But does my heart and my soul, quote unquote, reside in loving being able to sit down with people and give them readings about their past loved ones and their pet and their plants and things that sort of bring peace and clarity in more of a one-on-one humanistic way? Yes, but are there really freaking good mediums out there that are really awesome and attuned with the energy of like spiritual beings, like gods and deities or spirit guides? Frick yeah, there is. Is there also a lot of really good mediums that are super attuned to the energy and frequencies of fae and nature spirits? Heck yeah, there is. So when it comes to these shows, Mac, where mediums are going to do house calls to move souls over into the light, I think that is their brand of mediumship. I think that is what their calling of mediumship is. Hence, why I believe that Sarah, Roger's mother, brought Allison and Jackie to them. Because that is what they specialize in. That is what their mediumship brand may be. It may be what's good for them. I've talked to mediums who are just really good at talking to children's souls. That's just their mediumship. That is the subset of spirituality in which they're called and attuned to be a part of. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's why maybe a lot of other mediums or mediums on like the interwebs give the perception of like these souls need to be crossed over all the time. Because maybe that is just, you know, the universe works in mysterious ways. If you feel like you were supposed to get a reading by someone and then you do and it was really, really good, it's probably because there was a little bit of spirit putting their hand in that and making sure it happened. And I think that is what Jackie and Allison do as the rescue mediums. That is their calling for their mediumship. And I think it's really beautiful.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Now, the other thing I do want to talk about, because I was talking about this, the concept of passing over souls with a friend too. We talk about in this podcast a lot recently over the past couple months how spirituality is given to us by spirit, mediated by our spirit guides, you know, the operators, if you will, connecting the lines of spirituality through us to make us perceive things in a certain way using things that we have experienced and can understand. And I think that sometimes there are psychics and mediums that are out there on the interwebs and they're like, I passed over this soul or I got rid of this dark entity. But again, we have to think about it in our perceptions of how perceptions may also be given to us. So it might be the fact that a soul is in heaven or spirit, but they're choosing to be here because they can. They're messing with someone, they're causing poltergeisty activity, or they're just, I don't know, standing in the corner freaking someone out because they're just standing there menacingly, you know, but they're really just hanging out. And say someone's really scared, and then that medium or that psychic also has the same sort of spooky, ooky, scared perception of just this soul that is hanging out who is in heaven, who has passed over, but chooses to reside in this physical space because they can. They were once a part of it. It's not a big deal. But when they go in there and they shake their fist and ask nicely or not so nicely, you gotta get out of here. Their spirit guides, or the way that they perceive the energy moving, they might think that they have passed that soul into heaven. But really, the soul's just like, okay, fine. You just had to ask nice. I'll leave. So that is my caveat to that. I don't think all souls have to be crossed over, because sometimes they do just like to mess around here. And if you're just like, get out of here, you whippersnapper, they're like, okay, fine, I'll go home. And then because our spirit guides and spirit show us things in ways that we can understand, that psychic or that medium will interpret that information as, I passed them into heaven or spirit, but they might not actually have. It might have just been their spirit guides being like, yep, you got them. They're gone. We don't have to worry about it anymore. And then the person that called them to help them, quote unquote, ghost bust the spirit away, maybe, they all feel better. And then, you know, it's a good day. They all have pizza, they eat some sodas or drink some sodas and go home. So anyways, that is just what I wanted to talk about. If you're interested in watching my experience of crossing over a soul, that was our Lizzie Borden video when we, Em and I reacted to the Lizzie Borden house on YouTube. But if you want, my mom, who's also a psychic medium, she has an experience of, I don't remember if she talks about crossing the soul over, but in podcast episode 12, titled The Watcher Men and the Sad Soul in the Mansion, my mother talks about her experience with the soul of a man who also did not want to go into heaven or spirit because of the things he had did when he was alive. So he was like, I'm not crossing over into heaven. Like, they don't want me there. I did some bad stuff. But eventually my mother, she was able to listen to his story because no one had known about it. Not a single soul, literally, besides him, the soul of this man. And once she was able to listen to his story, he stopped haunting the place that he was violently haunting, like violently haunting. And yeah, it was a very interesting experience. So if you're interested in listening to or watching those things, I will have links in the show notes. And yeah, thank you all so much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. The life update, maybe too, if you listened. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if I'll get rid of it. I'll ask my husband what he thinks. It's just things I've been thinking about, you know? And I just, anyways, if you're interested in a reading, please go down to the description below if you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel or to the show notes. I have availability every time. I have it set up so that I book a month out. So if you see that I'm not available during the month of October, which I should be right now, then just check back the next day, because every day a new day will open up for availability. But thank you all so much for listening. I appreciate you, and I hope you all have a lovely Sunday. Peace.